From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. Al-Qaeda-linked jihadists in Syria say they mistakenly beheaded a Syrian insurgent because they thought he was a Shiite fighting with the forces of President Assad's regime. Awful. But how are Syrian insurgents talking about it now that they're suspicious of both jihadists and regime sympathizers in their midst? Well, they're probably talking in code. Nasima Negaz is a Muslim studies professor who spent time in Syria before the Arab Spring and discovered three taboo topics: politics, sex, and the regime. So she says people developed a code that has evolved. She recently published a paper about code in Syria. Professor Negaz joins us from the NPR studios in Washington, D.C. What are some of the words you found Syrians couldn't say out loud?
So, for example, if someone was hiding from the regime, instead of speaking about this person and saying they're hiding, which was impossible to say because that would put the person saying that in a threatening situation, they would say he is mardan, which means sick. So that person is sick. Or that person is studying, am yadrus. Or that person is having exams, andu frusat. So you see that there are differences. It depends on what I call speech communities. Speech communities are actually very small groups of people who are highly trusted individuals. So that could be members of a family, but not even the extended family. It's usually just a couple people who see each other very often, who have a high level of trust. Each group will create their own codes in order to communicate.
So again, this is before even the civil war we're watching now.
Indeed, yeah, yes.
People would say if someone was being held by the Mukhabarat, which we know is the police system, or in jail, it would be said that they were at their aunt's house.
Exactly.
In fact, they wouldn't say Mukhabarat at all.
No, exactly. Just saying that word was impossible. So, for instance, because that Mukhabarat system, those agents working for the government were very widespread. They could be, you know, the person at the grocery store. And because people could not know who was working for the Mukhabarat, they would just end up being suspicious of everybody around them. Yeah. So, for instance, if, let's say, two close friends or two close family members were talking and they went to a place where another person was and they thought they wanted to give each other the message that that person might be part of the Mukhabarat, so, you know, watch out. They would say, oh, his handwriting is beautiful, khattu halu, and that means that person writes reports for the Mukhabarat.
You know, even as I'm hearing you say this, Professor, I'm wondering, do you worry that you're now alerting the regime in the middle of the civil war to what the codes are?
I do not worry about this too much at this point, just because the situation has changed so much. After the beginning of the uprisings, there has been an explosion of, you know, new vocabulary, new terms, new codes.
Well, I see in your report, too, the standard Arabic word for trumpet has been transformed by protesters to mean anyone who speaks in defense of the regime.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, there used to be a word for someone who hadn't chosen sides. That word has fallen away because everyone's pretty much chosen sides.
Yes, they used to say al-aghlabiyya samita, which is the silent majority. But now they would say ramadi, which is gray. And that's more of a pejorative term, saying that, well, that person just, you know, is a coward.
Nasima Negaz, who studied the use of code after the Arab Spring, especially in Syria. The name of her research paper is Syria's Arab Spring, Language Enrichment in the Midst of Revolution. Professor Negaz, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And we will link you to her paper at hereandnow.org. You're listening to Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.